God bless you, sir. This is Bishop Henry Hearns here. And I'm so thankful to be on your show with you this morning on Sunday we call Easter Sunday, or really Sunday of Resurrection, or the Sunday that covers the foundation of what the Christian church is really all about. So at this point, Brother Slade, Lord, we thank you so much for taking care of us in our ignorance and in our inadequacies and in our ugly state. You've always taken care of us, and we thank you so much for it. Thank you for allowing your grace to cover for us. And I just ask you, Lord, on my part, that I be more and more acceptable to you by consistently growing and becoming less vulnerable to the system of this world that can cause you to be frustrated and stressed out. Thank you for allowing me to reach a point where I'm about to turn 84. Never knew that I would get here, but you've gotten me here, and I thank you for it. Bless us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be on the show here. The Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. Kiara AJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. And the brother that's with that is the guy that's sitting with me, and his name is Melvin Slade, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Sunday. And I'm glad to be on this Sunday with you. And this is a very precious Sunday. The business of church could not be if it were not for the results of this particular Sunday. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me read some of the verses to you that we will follow. And here's the way Paul puts it as he writes this letter to crazy church in 1 Corinthians, in Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So Paul continued to quote the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses and run down to, let's read verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, as he was saying, the greater part, as Paul was speaking, remains until this present day, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then also of the apostle. And last of all, he was seen of me. That's verse 8. This is Paul talking now. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostle, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now watch what he says in verse 10. And I kind of want to hang out with verse 10 a little bit. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the abundantly than they all. For yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you here in Corinth, you won't find that particular, but some of you saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith also is in vain. So let's hang out and let's kind of hook this up with saying, by the grace, I am what I am. By grace, I am what I am. The Church of Corinth, they were a port city. A lot of money flowing in and out at Corinth. And Paul had gone to Corinth to preach and to establish churches. And when he went there and established the church, many of the people who believed, they believed, but they had funny ways. And that doesn't excuse us, by the way. Some of us have funny ways. We pick the elitist of the crowd. Let me give you an example of what I've experienced. And here in the city of Lancaster, at the time I was elected as mayor of the city, there was probably maybe about 75 or 80,000 people here in our city. And which makes us, as far as I'm concerned, kind of a small city, but the city of Lancaster was among what they would call the medium or the in the upper grade of a larger city. And I met a lot of people along the road who would shake hands with me and they'd say, oh, are you really the mayor of the city of Lancaster? And I didn't have to tell them. I said, well, yeah. And they'd reach out and shake hands with me twice. Because now you're something special. And I didn't see myself anything as special. I am just one that the Lord allowed to be covered by his grace. And whatever I am is by the grace of God that I am what I am. But we should not be picking anyone. What we should do is be glad to meet any brother or sister who will believe Jesus and follow after him. So the church at Corinth, it was, even when they had communion, and this really upset Paul, when they'd have communion, those people, you know, they had two meals. One, they'd have what they call a real eating time. And they really got down at the table, as they say, they'd kill the fattest calf. But did you know that they would pick the people who had money? They'd pick the people who wore the good clothes to have communion with? And it really upset Paul. Paul said, now all of the poor people who ate whatever they could find to eat, and they were left alone by the rich people to eat to themselves. And Paul was so upset that he wrote 1 Corinthians 13. And he went on and on about what love was. And he told them, he says, you guys are hypocrites. you need to understand that God is not a God for the rich. He's a God for the people who will trust him and love him. So you guys need to get up out of here and begin to realize the fact that it's by the grace of God that you got saved. If it were not for the grace of God, I would have missed it, he said. I sought to take care of Caesar. I did everything I could to take care of Caesar. I made sure that. And anybody who would call upon the name of Jesus, you better bet him before I met Jesus, I would absolutely grab them up, drag them in the street, put them in jail, do any kind of thing I could do to destroy that name Jesus. But he said, on my way to Damascus, grace caught up with me. Grace caught up with me. And when grace caught up with me, I fell to the ground on my face. And according, and he says, not only did I fall in grace, but I want you to know, he says, that I took a hold to knowing the facts that what I was doing was wrong and against God. But I thought I was right. But I found out I was wrong. And when I found out that I was wrong, I was told by the Lord Jesus to go on to Damascus. And when I get to Damascus, there will be a man there who would give me the truth about what I was supposed to do. And he did. And he laid hands on me. And my eyes came open. And I asked the Lord, what would you have me to do? And here I am preaching to you all today in Corinth, letting you know that it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And I like he, and I hear him saying in verse 8, he says, now he was seen by 500 men. He was seen by James. He was seen by all the apostles. In verse 8, he said, but last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. He says, I was born out of due time. What do you mean, Paul, you're born out of due time? I could have been lost. But by the grace of God, by the time I was born again, I was able to receive and recognize the fact that the Lord Jesus came on my behalf and died for me, died for my sin, died for my ugliness, and all of that came, and thanks be to God, I saw him just in time. That now I am absolutely happy and satisfied, and it doesn't matter what happens to me anymore. All I want to do is to let you all know that I was born in time by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen what else Paul said. He goes on to say that in verse 11, therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so we believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? My Lord, my brothers and sisters, some of you that was here when I established the church in Corinth, and you all have allowed yourself to begin to think and wonder whether there be any resurrection. And I've come to let you know that the resurrection is absolutely true. And if there be no resurrection, then what we're preaching is all lies. Look at verse number 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead, and when God never did it at all. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Well, let me put it this way, brothers and sisters. If Christ has been not, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then every last one of us, for sure, I think all of us know this, that we're definitely going to die. And as a preacher, I've funeralized hundreds and hundreds of people. But I want you to know that I'm satisfied that when my day comes, no question in my mind, that when I leave planet Earth, that when Jesus comes back, I will be resurrected with him. And the reason why I'll be resurrected with him is because on the third day morning, he was truly resurrected. And I want you all to know, and this is Paul speaking again, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I want you to know and to keep in mind that there are all kind of religions, all kind of beliefs, all everywhere, everywhere you look, there's some kind of religion that will allow you to do anything you want to do, and it's okay. I got some good news, and I got some bad news. The good news is Jesus got up. Sure enough, got up on the third day morning. 500 guys can tell you that. The apostles can tell you that. And I can tell you that, that he truly got up. Now, I'm looking at those of us who are preaching in the 21st century. I'm looking at those of us who are reading the Bible and interpreting it all kinds of ways. And we are leaving many people in doubt of whether there was a resurrection or not. But brothers and sisters, here's an 84-year-old who was born and raised in Mississippi at a time when things were really terrible. We're going in and out of the back doors of our white friend. But there was a white lady that my mother worked for, named Ada D. McCrary, who told my mother, Bertha, I want you to be taken care of by my doctor when you have your baby, because I can see that you're getting big. And my mother said to her, Mrs. McCrary, you know the other white people in this area are not going to like you. And she said this, according to my mother, this, Bertha, the Lord made one heaven and there's one hell. And I'm going to that one heaven and it has no color stipulated. It is established by the blood of Jesus. And so I'm encouraged today, Bertha, and that I want you to know that I love you, not just because you're a good cook, but I love you because you're my sister. And you believe in Jesus. And this was a rich white lady who lived in the city where I was born in Bahia, Mississippi. Brothers and sisters, as we close this message, don't allow nobody to let you or make you think that Jesus didn't get up on the third day morning, because he certainly did. And the Bible is true. And it's either all of it is true or all of it is wrong. And I'm believing with all my heart that all of it is true. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you that you, on the third day morning, got up. And I thank you that I am what I am by your grace. And I pray in the name of Jesus that anyone who hears this message today will realize that you truly got up on the third day morning. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and the Lord keep you. Like to invite you to our church, Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, located at 100 Street East and Avenue R, pretty much right on the corner. And our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And if you got time today, after you hear this message this morning, you got plenty of time to get there at 10 o'clock today. Also, I want to make mention that the following Sunday, which is the 23rd, which, by the way, don't tell nobody, but it's my birthday. But it's also it's also our church anniversary. And we're looking forward to you being there to witness 67 years that our church has been sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, throughout the valley and all over everywhere.